You intend to fund it. So one set of questions, I will ask a subsequent question to you. Okay, how does that will impact your production efficiency and in terms of operating margin? That's it for the moment.
The first question is on the capital program which we outlined here. That capital program has been virtually completed. There's just one small bit which left, which is the wet lab machine, which has to be implemented. The original anticipated cost of that program was about 1150 crores. Eventually, in the end, we have spent, including IDC and all other elements, about 1,330 crores. There's been a slight cost overrun. Because of COVID and other circumstances, there's been a time overrun as well. Some elements got added during the process and everything else. This 1330 crores has been fully funded, primarily through a bank loan. At that point, we did not issue additional equity or do any equity investment. It was through internal generation and bank loans. But as you can see, of course, we have outstanding debt of about 2,222 crores. Some of it is outstanding from repaying the previous expansion program. And this is for the present program, which we have a spell of. But we have also repaid a portion of that debt last year because we recovered long outstanding payments both from the market and from government suppliers. So that's how we have been able to bring down the debt. So this part of the capital expansion, which I spoke about, is been fully completed. There are future capital expansions planned. We will sort of analyze what needs to be done. Originally, the mill expansion plan, which was approved, had two phases. This was the first phase. There was also a second phase. There might be some rethink as to what should be the elements of the second phase. That is something the board has yet to seriously debate and take a decision. Once we have an outline of what that program needs to be, we'll have an understanding of what the capital requirement there will be, because we have land, we have other facilities. And based on that capital requirement, an appropriate funding mechanism will be decided. So, but for what has already been taken up, the wet lab machine also should be completed by the end of this month, so the project should be fully done. Should be fully done now, and this has been fully funded through a combination of debt and internal accruals.
What is the impact?
Yeah, the impact fundamentally, as I told you during the presentation also, is that we will get about 400 tons per day of pulp, hardwood pulp, and that should make a significant difference to the cost at which we are able to produce, particularly cup stock and other forms of folding box board, FBB. So for both of those, there should be a significant cost reduction, and we should be able to make significantly larger margins on the board products. In addition, we would also have, depending on the product mix, some surplus pulp left over. About 50 to 100 tons of pulp which will be left over, which we can then transport to unit one and substitute it for more expensive, say if base paper prices don't come down and we want to substitute the DEEM pulp with this, we will be able to do it to some extent. So that is the, so it will have a significant cost saving for us. So which is why I said this year is likely to be a significantly better year from a cost perspective. If the final end market holds up, then we should really do well. And especially in the packaging segment, it looks like the end market is very nice.
See, if you look at the current scenario, costs have gone haywire. And our pulp mill is getting operational at the right moment. In the sense that if you were to import pulp, it would be somewhere upwards of 75,000-77,000 rupees a ton. And the pulp that we would produce would be substantially cheaper. So while yes, the top line would not increase unless we have surplus pulp which we will sell in the market. But on the cost front, it is substantial savings.
This is Shomin Choudhury from JK Securities Canada.
had a few questions on the raw material side. Given the current coal prices, does it make sense to buy out bagasse, or does the arrangement still hold, or does it not make any difference? Secondly, I think you were thinking about procuring domestic coal, so is there any progress on that? And what is the coal requirement per ton of pulp? And I think currently you are using 42 kcal as against 5000 kcal that you used to do earlier. So does it require, say, 20% more coal to get the same kind of pulp?
On the specific technical consumption, I'll ask my ED operations to intervene. But on the overall issue on bagasse, you see, the point is that we have some flexibility there, but not complete flexibility. There are two sugar mills where we actually operate their boiler for them, which means that it's our responsibility to bring in the coal. So there we have to necessarily take the bagasse, there is no other option. At other locations also, we have a long-term understanding, but we have some flexibility because we can tell them, saying, okay, you burn your bagasse, don't give it to us, because the coal prices are simply not affordable, or coal is difficult to access. It was a much tighter situation, it is eased a bit now. So that is the position as far as bagasse is concerned. It is dynamic, and we have to keep an eye on it. And as I told you, in the longer term, what happens with the sugar industry in Tamil Nadu, or at least in a sort of a radius of about 400 to 500 kilometers of our project site, is very critical, because that is the transportation distance, maximum transportation distance we cover. The existing mills are all within about 200 to 250 kilometers. There is a possibility of transporting some bagasse from, say, southern Karnataka and so on, but that also has cost implications, so we have to look at that in terms of the extent to which we can consume bagasse. But we don't want to give up that option just yet. It gives us flexibility. This year we saw that because of coal price increase, bagasse became expensive. Because of non-availability of waste paper, being pulp became expensive. But it can change. I mean, the situations can change, which is why we are investing in wood, so that we have a mix of, an optimum mix of all of this. On the specific question on coal and what is the kind of recovery we are getting, I'll just request my hand.
Morning, Joe. See, all of us, we understand that India is a fiber net importer. That's why your question in this forum is very, very relevant on the raw material. Where every gentleman in the country is talking about the raw material sustainability. Now, the point is, CMD has very clearly explained the flexibility what we have in TNPL is with three main streams of pulp. Bagasse pulp, hardwood pulp, and tail pulp. You have the option of increasing a particular grade of pulp and decreasing a particular grade of pulp depending on the raw material cost. I will give you a simple number. The tail pulp raw material, which we call it as a white recycled waste, which used to be imported in the country with $185 to $210. Today, the same raw material coming from overseas market is around $540. Now, in the domestic supply, whatever the print waste, whatever the white waste, which we used to get around 22,000 rupees per ton, today we are getting it almost at 40,000 rupees per ton. This is the cost of the raw material cost escalation. Now, based on that, you operate whether we need to make 300 tons of deep pulp or we need to jack up the hardwood pulp production and jack up the hardwood production. That is what the decision on a day-to-day basis. Point number two is the coal. When we buy bagasse, it's a barter system. There are two. One is we give coal, we get bagasse. The other one is we operate the boiler in their place and we give steam, they give bagasse. Then the steam and bagasse, and the coal and bagasse, it is through the efficiency, like 0.5. Or this way you call it as 2 ratio. It operates that way. Your question asks, you know, why don't we have a barter bagasse straight away as the coal prices are going up? Especially when the coal prices were $60 to $70 and went up to almost like $210. We did that. Instead of just, you know, giving through the barter system, there is no coal even to operate our own power barters and to operate the TGs. How can I just sell the coal outside to get some gas? So what we did at that time is increase the, in spite of the dip from your cost is more, make dip pulp more, make hardwood pulp production more in unit 1 as well as in unit 2, the cash cases, then reduce the bagasse slightly, slower, so that your coal outflow is not much. And second thing, as you rightly said, we started buying coal from nearby non-tied up sugar mills, or outside sugar mills where we are not engaged with. That means outright purchase of bagasse. Now the point is, when you are buying it from a tied up sugar mill, it is a well depicked bagasse. You all people must be aware that there's an unwanted material like what you have in the pulp wood species of lignin, which is not wanted for the pulp. Like that, the pith, which is unwanted material in the bagasse, which is not needed. So the deep pith pulp is very, very important. So the tied up sugar mills, they are well organized and they used to have a very good deep pith bagasse, which will be compacted and baled and transported very efficiently to the mill. When I go to the bottled bagasse, let it be through non-tied up sugar mills in Tamil Nadu or nearby states like in Karnataka and other places where bagasse is available. And those things are like loose bagasse and they don't have deep ether. In fact, company, wherever we have tied up sugar mills, we have put our deep ether, we have put our baling station, we have put our people to operate boiler, and we have that full control. So the yield of the bagasse, the pulp yield what we talk about, it is much, much superior when we have such a control and take it from the tied up sugar mill. So this we always equate when we go for the outright purchase from the market and when we do the tied up sugar mill bagasse, we always equate to what extent we can go with that pricing. Now it is all available at 3,600 to 4,000 rupees. Sometimes during 18-19 bagasse prices, we went even up to 6,000 plus in procurement of bagasse price. So it is always like month to month, you know, we see the bagasse pulp cost and then what is the yield what we are getting in the bagasse pulp, we fluctuate. So your question is, yes, it is being practiced. And it is not just like that always we do the barter system with coal and then we buy bagasse. It's a very dynamic situation depending on coal availability, coal price, and bagasse availability. Point number three, what you asked about the coal consumption. Today, typically for about 1,400 tons of paper production what we make, we have almost like 1:1.5, 1:1.2. We have almost 1,200 tons of coal which is required. We do that today. But that is inclusive of even some of the ancillary setup, whatever we have. It's not only for paper production. We have a cement factory running. We have other dip plant running with the dispersers. Paper machine, it will be less. But when I talk about all the offsite and other thing, it will be 2,000 tons requirement of coal. Now the consumption of coal is for what purpose? Now I am coming to the B question. A is answered. The B is every ton of coal will generate 4.5 to 5 tons of steam. It is always, you know, the steam is needed for making or drying the paper or cooking the pulp and treating the waste paper and things like that. Steam is required. And for paper drying, steam is required. So 1:4.5 to 5 minimum. And we are operating at 5.4 of the ratio. Steam generation is highest level. And the boilers are operated at 82%, 83% level. Normally anything above 80% of our boiler efficiency is very good, considerably. So the requirement of coal every day for TSBL today is almost 1,600 to 1,800 tons per day. So my requirement, my planning of coal will be around 6,000 tons of coal every month. Is that clear?
Would it be correct to say that, say for roughly 1 ton of pulp, you need about 0.3 ton of coal?
No, no, no. We are making 1,400 tons of paper.
Just for getting that bagasse.
Yeah, getting that bagasse, it will be 0.5. Getting that bagasse, it will be around 0.5 to 0.3. 0.3 to 0.5 to vary. Not for the paper production. You are talking about the bagasse.
Yeah. And just one last question. Is it possible to share the last coal import contract that we signed, last one or two, say, in terms of quantum and the price?
What contract?
Coal import contract.
Ah,
Cool import deal that we did, say the last one, it was at what price and what would be the current?
We bought it recently at 160. 111 is the latest one, what we have booked it. Now the prices are going up. It's 111.18 or something like that. We went up to 210, we came to 160, now it is 111, then again the prices are going up.
Coal that we buy, international coal that we buy is through a tender mechanism. So there's an open tender, it's an electronic tender, and fair amount of competition, 5-6 bidders who come in each time, and the price reflects more or less what is happening in the international scenario. We also are participating. You asked about domestic coal as well. How are you getting that? We have requested the Singareni Coal EVs in Andhra. So they have tried to do their best in terms of linkage of coal. Of course, they have a constraint because overall, the coal ministry and the power ministry, government of India, have taken a decision that first priority would be for power generation. And other requirements, including cement and paper and all other industries, would be a second order requirement. So there is a bit of a challenge of regularly getting what we want from Singareni. Off and on, we do get rates from there. In addition, we participate in the coal auctions, both of Singareni and of NLC, Neyveli Lignite Corporation's Lignite. And on the last occasion, I was told that the actual auction went on for maybe 15 hours. So it went on for 15 hours before it finally got certified. And on that basis, of course, luckily, Neyveli is not too far away. But we have had to look at the coal mix, and it has definitely, in the Unit 2, we have sort of made sure that the boiler design, the more modern boiler design, is such that we can accommodate varying fuels, including biomass and other renewables. We've also bought rice husk and a variety of other raw materials which we can actually burn in the boiler, because I think now, fortunately, coal is not a crisis situation, but about 3 months ago, it was really a crisis situation in terms of coal.
We would like to also share with you here, it is not that we depend only on the imported coal. Imported coal, earlier these boilers were operating at 85% imported coal, and only 10-15% used to be the lignite coal because of the low GCV and high moisture lignite coal. Now, Singareni Coal is that we did not have much of quota allocation. Now, with our CMD being the additional chief secretary for industry also, and also through his good office and he has influence, we are trying to get almost 60,000 tons allocation from Singareni also, and for close to 40,000 allocation from NLC also. So now what happened is, now the imported coal dependence, it has come down from 85 to almost like 70-73. The second point, what is very important is, because we have a bagasse pulp mill, whatever the pit, the unwanted material which is getting generated, that is getting dried up and then fired back in the boiler. The pit is also being fired at the agro fuel. That is where we got awarded for the circular economy. Today in the world, the circular economy model and bio-circular economy are the buzzwords today. And TNPL has been awarded because this is the only paper mill in Asia having a cement plant to convert the solid waste into a byproduct. In TNPL, nothing we call it as a waste. Every output is accepted one, and the side stream, what we call it, is a byproduct, it's not a waste. So lime sludge, fly ash, chip dust, pith, everything is being converted into a byproduct called useful PPC cement and OPC cements. Now coming back to the fuel sustainability, when I talked about the pith, the other one now what we are now exploring is there are coir pith available from Kerala. And second thing is we also have huge plantation and we have the pulpwood which is getting harvested and debarked and given to the pulp mill for cooking, for making pulp. What we leave the shrubs and the lumps and tops, you know, the tree, the top portion of that 6 or 7 meter, that cannot be used for pulp making. Now what they're saying, the farmers used to sell it for a very throwaway price for heating the water or something like that, for hot water in the houses and things like that, in the villages. Now what we are trying to do is, you tie it up with the farmers, so that the entire tree is put into use by TSPM. We take the trunk of 60 to 80 mm that girth, that is for pulp making, and the lumps and tops, whatever is coming, we will shred it through the farmer in the field itself and compact that and bring it in bales and then co feed it along with the coal. That will also work as give us the fuel and alternate fuel, which is agro based alternate fuel from our own source. So these are all the various measures which have already taken. That's how the coal consumption is coming down. It was typically at 184 or 185 kg per ton. Now it is slowly coming down to 170. Our target is going to 165 to 170 kg per ton. And that's how the measures are also taken. Every possible usage is considered for making energy. Thank you.
Would it be correct to say that, would it be correct to say that the coal cost in this quarter would not be significantly higher than what you had in the fourth quarter?
In fact, it should be significantly lower than what we expect. I mean, it has come down.
Good morning, sir. Arun Kejriwal here. Sir, wanted to understand, when you make paper from wood pulp, you would get a much better quality paper. What kind of price realization increase would you get when you use it for making paper board?
So from paper to paper board, you're saying?
Yeah. No. No, I'm saying when you are using a raw material as wood pulp, rather than using bagasse or using your other conventional paper, which is the waste paper, de-inking it and doing it. The quality of the paper from wood pulp is far better because it's virgin grade. So what is the higher realization you would get for that?
If you look at a bagasse pulp cannot be normally used to make packaging board. So let's keep bagasse pulp aside. Now we have the option of either using a de-inked pulp or we use a wood pulp. Now if I were to use a de-inked pulp in making a packaging board, the realizations would be lower by at least 8 to 9 rupees, fundamentally because that would be considered as a recycled fiber based board. So it would not really be having a grey inner, it would be white, but then the quality would be substantially lower in terms of, see, board is meant to give you strength properties to hold a carton. Now using that recycled de-inked pulp, the strength would not be there, so it would be a considerably lower realization. Whereas if you were to use that de-inked pulp in making paper, see, paper is, in paper strength is not of a very large consequence. So there, if you were to blend a bagasse and a de-inked and a wood-based pulp, the realizations would be lower by 1 rupee, 1 rupee 50 paisa, 2 rupees. It depends on how clean is the sheet of paper. It should not have specks and dirt, and how bright is it. So utilizing a de-inked pulp or a bagasse in writing and printing makes a lot of sense. But if you were to pump that pulp into packaging boards, we would destroy a lot of value. I think I've answered to your question.
So I wanted to understand, what is the higher realization you get when you use the wood pulp?
As I said, 7 to 8 rupees if I were to use a de-inked pulp in packaging board.
Right.
Yeah, instead of wood, see, if I were to make packaging board out of wood pulp, supposing I get 80 rupees. Now, if I were to make packaging board using a mix of wood pulp and de-inked pulp, I can't make it only with de-inked pulp, it would be very bad. But if I had to use a mix of deep pulp and wood pulp, I would get about, instead of 80, about 72, 73 rupees.
Right. So if we look at your numbers for what you have given for FY22, it would be fair to assume that while you are not going to have a higher tonnage coming up, the fact that you have your wood pulp mill coming up in production, this would lead to higher production, because the pulp itself would generate...
It would lead to higher turnover. Not production, because production...
I'm sorry. It would lead to higher...
Definitely higher realization. Yes.
Even though the tonnage would remain the same.
The top line would definitely increase substantially.
Yeah, that was a point I also made, saying that the significant change from previous years is that we have our own pulp. And the cost of that pulp is also, because earlier we are depending for this mix, we are depending partly on recycled material and partly on imported pulp. Now our dependence on imported pulp is virtually gone, and therefore we should be able to make a significantly higher contribution during the current year, starting current year.
Right. So one more question. In terms of positioning of our paper, our quality, the price that we can generate, I mean, we have one or two competitors who make quality which would be acceptable either in the domestic market or in the export market. Where would you put us?
Let me split it into different categories. We can split it into, say, one is unit 2 where we make packaging boards, and then we go to unit 1 where we make, you can again say, two categories over there, one which gets into the notebook segment and the other which gets into the books and the normal textbook segment. Looking at packaging boards, in terms of price realizations as on date in the market, we would be the leader. I would say even better than the next best in the marketplace. In terms of writing printing, in the book segment, the 70 JSM and above, we would be, say, around 1.5 to 2% lower than the leader in terms of realizations. In the lower JSM, where we say, which, you know, which gets into notebooks and all, there we would be at par or about 1% lower than them. See, right now what has happened is we've, in certain segments, we've been able to, you need to understand the USP of our mill. We are India's only mill where we make close to about 1200 tons of paper every day. So, you know, if there's a large tender or a large requirement, no mill in the country will be able to supply that kind of volumes to a customer. So one can definitely leverage that also to your advantage. That if you, you know, normally it is that if you want a larger quantity, you've got to give a discount to get a larger. But in certain cases where the situation flips, you can say that if you want a larger quantity, you've got to give a premium. Because only I have the capacity to supply, and I know that others do not have. So in that sense, that's why I'm very, very upbeat in saying that yes, we've been able to extract the maximum, whereas our quality is not as good as theirs. You know, there's a major difference over there. If you compare ourselves to the other A-grade mills, as we put them in, and if you have to put a bucket of, I mean, my competitors also say, if you have to put a bucket of Belt, a JK, a Andhra and West Coast. So most of them are using only wood-based pulp to make the products. So if you look sheet to sheet, their product is definitely superior and they should command a much higher premium. But in the current context, because of reasons as I stated earlier, they are not able to command that kind of premium. We've been more aggressive in that sense. So we are at a discount, but yes, a percentage and a half or 2% at max.
Today's world, the fact that we recycle, fact that we use bagasse, fact that we are more environmentally friendly also comes for us. So I think that makes, that adds a premium in its own way.
So one last question. The mills up in North and Central India are able to use other agri products. Is there any possibility of we exploring something on that front as well, looking at the tight position of raw materials?
I mean, this is something which keeps coming up, and this is something which we keep researching all the time, because like I said, we've already diversified into three and we don't want to just stay there. I don't want to rule out that possibility. There's also constant pressure because, you know, we are partly government owned, so, you know, people do come up and give us ideas saying, can you use rice straw, can you use some other material? So we keep testing and figuring out which other material is possible to use. And if something works, there's no reason why we won't do it.
Thanks.
Yeah, hi, I'm Abhishek Maheshwari from Silesia Management. I've been following the company for the last 7 years. And so yeah, first question is regarding the margins. So prior to commissioning of your packaging board line, you used to make EBITDA margins of 25-26% or so. And I understand that pulp line was not commissioned, so margins fell significantly. So now in January you commissioned, and I understand that Q4 we may not have had full impact of commissioning. But I want to ask if the line is stabilized, the pulp line, and if we are seeing the full benefit of the pulp line from April onwards.
Yes, certainly the line is now finally stabilized. On the production front, everything is okay. There are one or two little mechanical issues which are getting resolved as we speak. So we are on a number of days able to achieve production in excess of 400 tons. And I am assured by the technical experts that the quality of the pulp which comes out is second to none. So we are getting very high quality pulp because the quality of the equipment is really good. And as was already established or emphasized, everything within that, all the chemical processes are circular processes. So we are getting the desired production, and we expect, that is why we expect the contributions to go up significantly during the current financial year, during the current year. We should see the benefit of that.
Right.
See, part of the benefit has also been offset because of other costs, like, you know, coal and various other factors, and chemicals. Chemical prices have also gone up. But once that stabilizes, I think we should see a substantially improved contribution. Because I think one of the reasons why EBITDA margins during 21-22 were hit were not just because of the problems with not having your own pulp for the board unit, but also the fact that all other raw material costs also went up.
So the latter part of your answer was what I was coming to, because Pulpline was supposed to be our hedge against coal, but coal is still moving upwards now. So now coming to coal and chemicals, how many stocks, what are the number of days that you carry coal? Are we carrying for 3 months or?
I don't think this is a time when I would even like to carry for 3 months. But we are carrying, I mean, like I said, it was close to a crisis situation about 2-3 months ago, but now we are fairly comfortable in terms of coal stocks, what we need. I think we should be about close to a month, plus fairly considerable quantities in pipelines. We've also internally taken a detailed review on how we should look at all of this, because see, especially on the board side, the market needs assurance. We are clearly, in terms of quality of the coal that we produce, quality of the board that we produce, we are a market leader. And therefore, we should be able to consistently supply that quality of material. So the critical raw materials we have reviewed internally, and we have taken a policy call saying that we will maintain, so that there is no disruption of production, adequate quantities, based on an understanding and based on the... See, the challenge this year has not just been the prices, but has also been the freight lines being completely disrupted. The logistics has been completely disrupted in many areas, and there are places where, you know, normally ports pride themselves saying the container comes in and moves out immediately. Some of our transshipment ports have taken 7-8 days to transship a container or even longer. So there have been those challenges as well. So accounting for all the logistics challenges and everything else, we've decided as a conscious policy that we will carry enough stocks, order upfront and carry enough stocks of critical raw materials. So those would be one category. The remaining, which are locally sourced chemicals and so on, we are actually pulling down the total quantity that order. Earlier we would order for a longer period, now we are ordering for shorter periods so that if there are drops in prices or if there is a change in market conditions, we are able to take advantage of that. So it's a very dynamic basis. And there are also, interestingly enough, there are some which are vendor managed inputs. So it is to his cost, we just pay it as a cost per unit of paper produced.
That does not mean that it will spill over into Q2, 3 and 4 also. We are seeing an uptrend there. So,
but there could be some benefit because some of the stocks have been contracted during the previous year at lower prices.
Okay, that's great to know. Sir, how much flexibility do we have in terms of passing on the prices to the end customer? Because we are seeing a very high demand for packaging and paper.
I'll ask our ED marketing. He's the price gouger in the midst of all of us, so he's able to get whatever the market requires. Yeah.
Yeah, as I said, it's segment wise, but right now I would say there is a lot of strength that we guys have to pass on the price, especially on the packaging port side. Yes, because almost everybody is hit equally hard. Everybody is importing pulp, so when all the producers are hit equally hard, then price is transmitted immediately. On the writing printing side, I must say that as TFPL, we are hit the hardest. Because, you know, one is coal. Coal, everybody has been hit equally badly. So if you look at our competitors, everybody has had an equally bad hit. But unfortunately, at our end, our bagasse is also coal. In the sense, if wood prices went up by 10%, my bagasse prices should also have gone up by 10%, or if my competitor is not using bagasse, then his raw material, when I say raw material, I mean fibrous raw material, his raw material prices would have gone up only by 10%. Whereas for the bagasse that I buy, and if coal has gone up by 50%, my impact on that bagasse is 50%, it's not 10%. So if you look at my margins, they get contracted over there. If I am hit and the others are not hit, so then the possibility of passing down the price increase, cost increase becomes lesser. But having understood that also, as I said, we've been able to try to manage a mix where we would have equally passed down the cost increases, or rather retain something more in the bargain.
Thank you. One last question regarding supply chain. Any turbulence in terms of sourcing wood chips or bagasse or water?
So wood chips is our own, so that's not an issue.
But water is really not an issue.
Any other raw material?
See, currently, okay. You know, different years, different challenges come. A few years ago, we had a challenge with water. Luckily, right now, we have no challenges with water. Even this year, in fact, the main dam in Tamil Nadu, Metu Dam, actually was water was released ahead of the normal schedule. June 12th is when it's supposed to be normally released. This year it's been released ahead of schedule. I think we've insulated ourselves a fair bit on the water front. So right now, for the next 18 months, I don't see a real challenge on water. And it has not been a challenge in the past 2-3 years also. On the wood chips front also, we do not see a problem. I alluded to it when I spoke. I think our plantation activity has been one of our real success stories in the last 4-5 years. We've raised extensive plantations with farmers. Our relationship with farmers has also improved significantly and is on a very sound footing. And because we are able to pay promptly and we have prioritized that, it means there's no diversion of the wood which is grown for TFPL. Plus, we have a steady source of supply from the Tamil Nadu Forest Corporation, and they have a program of actually clearing monocultures at different locations, including eucalyptus and wattle and so on, which is going to be useful for us. We also buy from the AP Power Forest Corporation and the Kerala Forest Corporation, so there's a fair bit of wood available from them. So I think on the wood chip side, we are comfortable. We don't anticipate, we have planned for it well, and we continue to monitor it, and we do not anticipate a problem there. The chemical side also, we've been sort of watching it closely. It's been the price which has been the primary issue, but chemicals per se should not be an issue. Pulp, the small quantity of BCTMP pulp which we may have to import for certain grades of packaging board may continue to be a bit of a challenge. But that we have taken a conscious decision that if we want to dominate the market in certain segments, then whatever the cost, we will import in cold stocks. Coal, of course, is anybody's guess, and that is the real challenge. But there again, we have tried to diversify, as I said, various forms of biomass, domestic coal, lignite, and so on. At least domestic coal, there seem to be some signs of easing up. Mm-hmm. Plus, we are also exploring imported coal from broader markets. Mm-hmm. We looked at what is the possibility with Australian coal, what is the possibility with South African coal. And with the Australian coal, the recent FTA which has been signed with Australia promises to be quite we are at it all the time. And we've been talking to, in fact, the Australian trade people saying that exporting instead of from Queensland or on the other side of Australia, if they can actually look at some Western Australian coals from ports which are much closer to Chennai to actually reduce logistics costs and so on. So a range of possibilities which we are constantly exploring.
Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Hi, good morning. So this is Dhonil here from My Wealth Management. Had a two-part question. First question was on our overall requirement of the raw material which you just informed. So broadly we have a 6 lakh ton of paper manufacturing capacity. So we need closer to 4 lakh tons of, if the ratio is 0.75, we need that. So currently we have wood, bagasse and the waste which we are using it. So if you can help us, what is the cost of production in making from the three side of it, and what is the mix of that three as of now, and post that the new manufacturing of the hardwood pulp mill, how will it change? So that was my first question. And second was, sir, yesterday we met JK Paper and we are trying to understand on the packaging side of it. So the 40% of their raw material, they are importing it from the colder countries outside, because the requirement, they don't get it here. So for us, are we doing that? Because the prices have increased by 10-15% there. So how are we placed there, and are we getting that much of price from the market?
Thank you. I'll just quickly answer the broader points and then ask my ED operations to answer the rest. The broader point is, I think with the increase in capacity, right now you've seen that slide, we have gone up to about 1,550 tons per day of production capacity. And actually the hardwood pulp is now almost 800 plus tons, almost 850 tons of hardwood pulp is our internal capacity, plus about 500 tons of bagasse and about 300 tons of DM pulp. So we have all this internal capacity, which basically translates roughly into about almost 5 lakh tons, 4.5 to 5 lakh tons a year. So which means, you know, like to like, based on the conversion factor, we are comfortably provided for. We don't have to import any pulp at all. It's only for certain brands or certain types of packaging material where we may need the softwood pulp, which we will have to import. So that is where there is a requirement import. That depends entirely on the product mix and how we see what is going on. The percentage we are hoping will be more in the region of 20-25% and not 40%. So to that extent, there will be some containment of costs. So therefore, you know, whether those categories, I mean, there are substitutes and there are ways in which we can actually set up pulping capacity in a future expansion to address that is also something which is in the long-term planning realm. But in the immediate term, it is fundamentally making sure that we have a supply chain which is tied up and we get that. And as was already emphasized, we are confident that that pulp cost is uniform to everybody in the market, and we should be able to pass through that to the consumers. So that is where we stand. But technically, there are specific.
Yeah, well, if you talk about the raw material requirement, let's talk about wood pulp requirement. Okay, we, for both the plants, we require almost like 10 lakh tons per annum. That means 1 million tons. Because why do I require so much, you know, it's a pulp, wood moisture is also there. 35-40% of the moisture in the wood. Then also after you take out lignin and all these things, you have the pulp yield only around 47-48%. So naturally, you need to have almost behind every ton of pulp which is coming in, you have 3.5 to 4 times of the wood logs which is getting into. That is the reason we always say, though my pulp mill requirement or pulp production is only 1,40,000 tons, and here it is going to be 1,30,000 or 1,40,000. If we have a requirement of wood, is almost like 8 to 10 lakh tons, which is 1 million tons. And for that, as CMD was explaining it to you, we have a very clear tie-up with almost 1,600 farmers. And we have tie up with all our government TAPCON resources, and we are quite comfortable. And we also have captive plantation, and using the farmer's own land, and we also take the land on lease. And also we are doing a lot of plantation on the unused lands owned by various temples. Each temple, if you see in Tamil Nadu, 9 districts, they have 50 acres of land, 80 acres of land, 100 acres of land. And all those things that we have got into an agreement with them, it is like 70-30 type of sharing. You keep the land as a wasteland, and we do all the external supply, we do the technology know-how to you, and finally we will harvest it and then we will take the wood. And you get some revenue coming out of that. So from the hardwood point of view, it is fully covered, absolutely not an issue. Bagat point of view, which we already explained in the earlier questions, we have very clear tie-up with all the sugar mills. For any shortfall, we also have open market bagasse procurement. The last third point, what we talked about the raw material is a dip. Dip is always used as a plant which will just cater to the requirement based on the scale of economy or the kind of, you know, the fluctuations in the input raw material cost. It is not necessary that I will have to use that 300 tons every day, not required. In fact, we would push the maximum pulp production in the new plant, Modipati Trichy plant, to the maximum. Though it is 400 tons per day plant, the total capacity, the investment has been made to make further another 100 tons there, 500 tons per day. So that when the phase 2 goes with paper or board, we can make 500 tons per day in that same plant. Equipments are selected that way. So naturally, this plant will be making around 300 tons, that plant will be making around 500 tons, 800 tons will be the hardwood pulp picture, which will be quite sufficient for unit 1 and unit 2 for the board grades as well as for the 4 lakh tons of paper grades.
Sure. But sir, how much will be the cost of production when you do it by the three various raw material currently?
Cost of production may be different kinds.
As of today, what is standard?
No, it depends on the furnish recipe what you use. Some grades I use 10% of hardwood.
On a like-to-like basis, which is cheaper, which is more expensive.
Okay. If you talk about it, the cheapest is today, is the bagasse pulp. See, what we have, this plant has been put in Kagidapuram, is a bagasse-based plant. Our economy lies with the bagasse pulp production, which used to be traditionally at around 22 to 23. Today it is around 29 to 30. And now maximum during the high price bagasse procurement, it has gone to almost like 33, 34. And wood pulp will always be slightly 1 or 2,000 tons, slightly more. 1 or 2,000 rupee per ton, it is slightly more. And dip pulp, which traditionally used to be around 35, 36, it has gone even as high as 70 now. Because of $200 moving to $540.
So, just to clarify this again, for industry, bagasse is 30 to 33 rupees. But because we are in the exchange of giving coal and getting bagasse, our cost of production has gone up by 50%. Is there a fair?
No, that is totally different, sir.
I am understanding for our company, not for the industry.
No, that is totally different. Where we are taking that bagasse. I don't take that bagasse from every person the same level of 600 tons or 800 tons per day or something. I see the distance, I see the handling charges, I see the transportation charges. Based on that, sometimes we leave. Today, for example, if I have 4 lakh tons of bagasse in the factory, I don't need to go for that high cost of bagasse procurement. It's a dynamic decision.
The point fundamentally is, traditionally, the cheapest source of bagasse, because of the coal prices, it's a little more expensive, so dynamically we decide. Today, our cheapest is wood, because that is where we have a reliable supply, and that's where we have increased the capacity as well. Bean pulp also is a kind of a swing element, and when the prices are low, we mix it. When the prices are high, we reduce the quantity. So this is broadly where we stand. But the answer to your question is very similar, because without, I don't want to get into specific numbers, but the answer to your question is also very similar. Now that we have an enhanced pulping capacity of hardwood pulp, our cost structure should significantly come down, and the contribution to the overall EBITDA should significantly increase during the year.
Thank you.
Hi, Akshay from Akshay Patel from Nainambala Securities. I have heard that second phase of capex would be towards the packaging board instead of paper boards or paper plants. So can you give update on that?
We have not yet taken any decision on that matter. The original decision of the board was that the second phase would be for a paper machine, but there was no final approval on that. We will have to consider it and take a decision. No final decision has been taken of the configuration of what exactly we will make. It depends on market conditions, it depends on, you know, a number of other factors. So right now, as of now,
there's no decision that I can actually say. We are considering all options.
Okay. Second question is, how much hard work is required for producing a paperboard pattern?
See, again, there are different types of paperboards. You know, if you look at cup stock, I'll say you need 1,070 tons of pulp to make a 1,070 kgs of pulp to make a 1 ton of cup stock. If I talk about a folding box board, my hardwood pulp would be about 40%, 60% would be BCTMP. If you look at a SBS board, I'd say 90% would be hardwood pulp which we make and 10% would be imported. So, you know, there are different varieties of paper boards, and based on that, our hardwood pulp is utilized in a particular mix. You know, some grades where you can use more of your own hardwood pulp, some grades where you need to use less of your hardwood pulp. So it's not a fixed formula, but by and large, if you see, anybody who makes a folding box board through and through on the machine would need about 40% of hardwood pulp. That's something like what we have set up a facility. But our product mix is never 100% folding box board. It's a mix of folding box board, cup stock, and SBS boards. So when you have a mix, you can see that first of all, we will try to utilize 100% of what pulp we produce, because that is the cheapest. So once I do that, then I will see where I make more contributions, whether I use more of imported hardwood pulp or imported BCTMP to make a folding box board. So then it's a matter of you play after you finish what you have made in-house. And making in-house is a big cost saving over imported on current prices. So if we have a pulp mill which is going to ramp up and give us 140,000 tons, and we have a board machine which is 200,000 tons, given a choice, my challenge should be to utilize the entire 140,000 tons to make packaging boards at unit 2. Because that is where the contribution will be maximum.
Thank you.
Yeah, hello sir, this is Siddharth Shah. Sir, my question is, we make different products, writing and printing paper, packaging boards, different varieties, and we use a mix of different raw materials also. So on a blended basis, if you can say at spot cost, raw material cost, if you can help us understand per ton cost breakup, that would be very helpful, sir, because we are all asking the same question in different ways, but we are not able to understand the per ton cost structure as of date on spot basis, at what coal prices you are assuming. And then probably we can do a sensitivity based on how the coal prices move or the realizations move.
I'll give you a rough idea.
Yeah, of course, the rate. Yeah.
It, at the current costs of fiber that is there, pulp that we produce, as mentioned, de-inked is the most expensive and wood is the cheapest. Wood would be somewhere between 32 to 35 rupees. Bagasse would be somewhere around 37 to 38 or 39, 40 rupees. Today's costing, I'm saying.
Right.
And de-ink would be somewhere around 65 to 70 rupees.
So this is all inclusive cost, including the chemicals and the conversion cost and everything
included
at the EBITDA level?
Imported, again, imported, if you were to look at imported hardwood, it would be somewhere around 80 bucks. And imported BCTMP would be somewhere around 70 to 73 bucks. All is per kg, what I've quoted.
Okay. So just to repeat, you're saying the hardwood pulp is around 32 rupees, the bagasse is around 38 to 40 rupees, and the day it is around 70 rupees.
Almost.
And the mix which we use on a blended basis, where would the cost structure be then? Around 38 to 40 rupees?
See, the answer of the question you have, because we gave you the pulp capacities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, sir. So second question,
gentlemen, just say you cannot answer that question, because even the folding box board what you make, okay, high bulk and low bulk and things, you have a different recipe, you know, in the same BCTMP, somewhere you use 50, somewhere you use 30, you know. So you cannot answer that question. There is no cost structure model, this will be 52 rupees, this will be 50 rupees, something like that, okay?
Sure, sir. So this is all inclusive cost, including all the overheads and conversion cost, right, at a EBITDA level, right? This is the EBITDA level cost you are seeing, right? All inclusive cost, including the conversion cost, right?
No, we do the total cost. No.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
This is just the gross raw material cost, was it?
Raw material cost will be expensive.
Okay.
And the paper making, you all know, majority of the thing comes from the steam and power cost and electrical cost. The chemical cost of other thing is very
important. In the presentation, we mainly showed those breakup of the costs, you know, how the power lighting costs have gone up and so on. So you can see that those are also elements of the cost. The figures that he talked about were fundamentally just the raw material cost.
So how much is the conversion cost all inclusive, including the overheads and the marketing costs and the employee costs?
Again, that
you meaning to say how much is the fixed cost?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, sir. So, on the EBITDA, they balance the entire amount that comes out is about the cost, about 80% is the cost of everything put together, including fixed costs, including the because you know, in addition to the pure raw material in terms of the pulp, there are all the chemical costs and the fuel power costs. So all of that added together will amount to about 80%.
Okay. So then the last question from my side is, can you just share the outlook overall on the demand supply pricing environment? How sustainable you think this is, the current tightness is?
See, your guess is as good as mine, but you know, I'm just coming back from Europe and Davos and things. The general feel that I get from people who are talking about it there is that the outlook for the packaging materials is definitely brighter than the outlook for paper. I mean, that is the broad sense that I get. Now, how good your product is and what exactly is the demand and how which product prevails and things are difficult, but I think there's a significant opportunity, and the opportunity is what the company is trying to make the best of. So especially on the packaging board, there's a significant opportunity. On the paper side, again, this year right now we see a boom in the market. And we have fortunately as TNPL, we also have a steady market in terms of the textbooks and so on. So that gives us a certain amount of stability. So I would say that broadly for the company, the outlook is very positive. And I would think that we are placed at about the best situation we've been in for the past 3 or 4 years. And it's really up to us to actually make it work in our favor. Provided, of course, that there are no external forces and suddenly there's not another. I mean, many of these couldn't have been anticipated last year. We couldn't anticipate COVID. We couldn't anticipate the geopolitical tensions in Europe. So we don't know what will play out at what time. So given, take out all those uncertainties, right now things are looking good.
Okay, so thank you and all the best.
Question.
This is Sandeep Chhabra here.
Yeah.
Last year you had a good amount of export. What is the position this year? You have contracts with people which are 3 monthly, half yearly, what sort of contracts these are?
No, we don't have contracts with people. We would normally be booking kind of 1 month, 1.5 months time. Looking at exports or domestic, it's a fairly dynamic situation. If I look at packaging boards, export realizations are definitely better than writing printing paper. So while we would want to export more, but we want to have our stake in the domestic market also, because all of a sudden you cannot again go back. You know, packaging board is an enlisted recommended product, in the sense that if a company is specifying your board, so he would need that quantity month on month to package his products. So we would not like to vacate the domestic market, but yes, emphasis would be more towards exports. So that is on the packaging board side. On the writing printing side, still realizations are better in the domestic market than in exports. So the focus would be, overall, if you were to look at this year, 2022-23, you will find exports to have shrunk over last year.
But we were able to export, in spite of the freight rates being so high, how come the demand in the export market was so good?
Freight rates is a question of relative freight rates and relative competitive intensity, in the sense that if, say, hypothetically, we export into Nigeria and say Indonesia exports into Nigeria, my freight rate went up from $8,000 a container to say about $20,000 a container, and Chinese went up from $7,000 to $40,000. So I'm happier. So okay, it's relative, because landed costs over there, mine becomes cheaper, I can extract that balance out of that case. Which has been actually, the global shipping crisis has been extremely beneficial for the Indian paper industry. We hope and pray daily that let the crisis get worse. While yes, on the supply side, it's a problem how to procure raw materials. But on the sales side, as a competitor to Indonesia, China, Southeast Asia, we are far, far better off, and that's one of the primary reasons why a lot of exports has happened more out of India. Not only paper, a lot of other products also. Because relative freight of India has, while I can cry to you, my freight went up by 4 times. But yes, my competitor's freight went up by 8 times, no? So I'm happier. So if you look at it in that sense, that is the reason why India could export so much more. Not only paper, other commodities also.
Secondly, why we are not getting that sort of margins as per our competitors, if we see on the...
I think when we mentioned, we said we have been hit more harder because of input raw materials. You know, certain raw materials like coal, it went through the roof. But coal was uniform for all. But unfortunately for us, bagasse is also coal. So that is where we got hit. See, we have enjoyed the benefits of bagasse. It is not to dismiss bagasse or deemed paper. We have enjoyed the benefits of deemed paper and bagasse for umpteen years. And that is why we had the best of contribution margins. Unfortunately, 2 years of a very strange situation. See, in any paper and pulp and paper industry, always the cost is deemed is cheapest because it is the worst. Bagasse is second more expensive, it is slightly better than deemed. And wood is the best because it is the best, so it's the most expensive. Only the past 2 years have been a major aberration. So that has inverted the whole thing. So I would not say that this aberration would last. One needs to understand that if I'm selling gold, gold cannot be cheaper than silver. It's got to go back again. But there is a temporary aberration which has led to this. So I think for the past 2 years, we've suffered only on this account, and that's a major suffering.
So good days can come again, back. Which
so wood has to come back. I mean, it is, see, if I were to give you a choice, simple, if I were to give you a choice, sir, you have 1 ton of wood pulp and you have 1 ton of deemed pulp. What will you pay more for? You would say wood pulp. Why will I buy deemed? It's kachra, no, after all. Or bagasse, it's a weaker pulp. Why will I buy bagasse? But because it is not available, and we are forced to source that raw material, we are forced to use it. See, if I had a pulping capacity of 1300 tons of wood, I would have shut my bagasse plant and I would have shut my deemed plant first. But because all of us have our balances, so all machines have to be utilized. So what do? I have to use them. Even if it's expensive, because the other option is importing, which is even more worse.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jayesh Shah. If I understand, the crux of the presentation is that you have commissioned this whole project for wood pulp for 1330 crores, and the cost saving is the real delta in the financials. So if I look at 400 lakhs of, you know, tons of wood pulp, which may end up replacing bagasse or dint, and I look at the cost differential, is that the right mathematics and things that I should look at? And if I look at that basis, what is the payback that we can actually see?
See, I think the way to look at it is that a significant offsetting of imported pulp will take place for unit 2, which is towards the board.
Right.
And that is where we will see the big cost saving. Some of the material, some of the excess material beyond what we use here would be available for replacing either deemed pulp or bagasse pulp at unit 1. But that will be the smaller proportion. But I think the big cost saving will actually take place in the
board plant, and that is going to be the significant gain that we will see.
So roughly, say 3 lakh tons into 30 rupees per kg or 20.
That
is that how
it's
I should
not, no, I mean 3 lakh tons, it's the capacity is for rated lakh. Capacity is 170,000 tons a year.
Oh,
the
okay.
Rated capacity.
Okay. Okay.
140,000 tons a year. Sorry. 140,000 tons a year, which can be built up to 170 subsequently. That is the rated capacity.
Yeah. Okay. Sir, for your question, for the last 10 years, if you look at it, the way I was explaining it to you on the dip raw material cost, the white recycle based cost, the pulp, you know, if you see the sine curve, it used to be at $450 to $460 and went as high as $1,100. Today it is operating between $900 and $1,000. BCTMP used to operate at $450 and it went up to $900, and today people are operating at $1,000 plus. It is all because of many mills getting shut in Europe on the logistics issue, container availability issue, vessels issue, and various these type of things are there. And now our point is, having put up a mill there, operated at full efficiency, and these type of fluctuations in the imported material will continue to be there, because we, whether we agree or not, we have come to a new normal. We are in the middle of new normal scenario. The market is not given to us in the same way as it was before COVID, nor the raw material availability is getting maintained in the same way as it was before COVID. Even the prices, right from caustic to OBS to binder, everything is 70% rise, 70 to 300% of the rise. So that is applicable for everybody. That's what ED Marketing was explaining it to you. Those type of common issues, it will be easy for us to pass on and then get the realization. Where it is very specific and peculiar to TNPL, that would continue to, because market would not absorb that, it will continue to, like the coal what we said. We have to depend to some extent on imported coal. But your point is, will it stay here, when it will come down? Yes, it has to go through the curve. Because two years before, all of us we have seen, we have put it at $47.5, then $64.4 for many months. And now it has gone up to 10, now we have come down to 111.18 or something. It will keep continuing. And that is why company is proactively now thinking about, how do we go for alternate raw material? Because whether we like it or not, there is a big greenhouse gas emission norms are going to come, that you cannot use beyond a particular coal usage in the country after 2030 or 2050. For us, at that time, we don't want to run around. Now itself, we are thinking about alternate fuel, biofuels and things like that. And TNPL being agro-based industry, and our tie-up here, I would like to mention to all the investors, our tie-up with the Indian Agro Paper Maker Association, Indian Pulp and Paper Technical Association, then Indian Forest and Tree Breeding Institute, and National Institute of Technology, IIT Chennai. Our tie-up technologically with all these institutes are very, very strong. And Tamil Nadu Agricultural University, for the yield improvement, for the soil improvement, for the farmers' yield improvement, for our own quality of the pulp and chemical reduction. And we have a very strong R&D with us in both the units. So those are all the things which will try to insulate us to some extent from all these vulnerable point attack. But nobody can say after 6 months down the line or 1 year down the line, we will be absolutely free and we will be out of it. Nobody can say that, because every company depends on to some extent on some import or other. Thank you.
Right. So, sir, if I can just summarize on this whole project of 1330 crores, based on rough calculation, seems to be 2 year payback at the current rates. Is my calculation broadly correct?
It's a 2 year payback. I mean, we'll have to look at the numbers. We haven't looked at it in those terms. We are looking at it fundamentally as delivering significant positive benefits in the current year, definitely, and in the years to come. Yes, certainly. Whether it will pay back within 2 years, I would not hazard a guess right now. It all depends on, as he said, relative prices.
Right.
But given the current scenario, given where the prices are of various items, if the current scenario continues for a little longer, yes, the payback will be faster. I think
got it. Thank you.
Very good afternoon to the panel. And I'm Vishal Bagadia from Roha Asset Managers, Mumbai. So my questions are very basic. Seeing all the lockdown restrictions being lifted, schools opening, office places opening, we see some pent up demand in the paper consumption. So if you could guide on the growth part of volume versus value, what we can see in the current financial year coming forward. Thank you.
See, if you're looking at volume growth, whenever you read or write, you normally write on a square foot or a square meter of paper. So if I were to say increase in volume for writing printing in India, somewhere around 4% per annum. But the tonnage might not be 4%, it might be 3-3.5%, because people tend to downsize on the GSM also as the costs go up. In the sense, if you're using 56 GSM, you'll come down to 53-54 GSM. And so some kind of a weight is not commensurate to the meterage that is coming to you. Keeping that aside, you can say somewhere around 4-5%, that is a volume increase that's happening. Second question you said on the value would have gone up by, I would say, you wanted from 1st of April.
Yeah, that also, and what we can expect for the full year, like if it is for 100 rupees per kg.
If you say from 1st of April, you can say about 18 rupees on somewhere around 60 rupees, that is 30%. That's the value. Now you look at guidance, I would say 6 months look good. See, I tell you, it is very difficult. We all sitting in this room. Can anyone of us take a guess on what's going to happen tomorrow or the day after? We could have taken a guess 3 years ago. But today the situation is very, very dynamic. But the way we are looking at it, normally July, August are slightly lean for the writing printing season, because all the textbooks, notebooks are all done and sent to the children. From August, mid onwards, the next season starts. Now, if you look at us, we are virtually having orders of about 2 months. So June and July, we are covered. So August is when we would need orders for. Right now, if we were to book orders, we'll be supplying in August. And August is when season again begins. And that season continues till March. So if I were to say this FY, I think it should be a good scenario. On the price guidance, I cannot comment.
As of now, we can say it is 30% from April 1, that's what you said.
Yes.
That's the past.
Yeah. We have also done a price increase of about 5% on 31st of last month.
This is on the writing and printing side.
Yes.
And on the packaging side?
Packaging side is slightly more chaotic. So there the increases have been slightly more because the pulp prices have gone up much higher. So see, if you look at the writing printing side, what price increases we do, we are not able to capture that much value because our competitors do not have that kind of a price impact, fundamentally because of coal. Whereas on the packaging side, we are able to capture much more value than them, because we have almost commissioned a pulp mill, which others have not. Except for JK, but JK's pulp mill capacity is deficient in the sense that they don't have a pulp mill large enough to cater to their full hardwood craft requirements. So that way we are more benefited on the packaging side.
Thank you, sir. That would be all. Okay.
This gentleman here had a question. He had a question. Can we finish his answer?
Hi, this is Varun Gupta. I just want one clarification. The price hike you mentioned has been done in the last 2 months. The 30% price hike from 60 to 78
foot. I talked about somewhere around 18 rupees.
So from 60 rupees, which was in Q4.
Not from 60, I would say 57, 58 to about 74.
So that has been done in the last 2 months.
April, May and yes.
That's it from this.
Hi. Hello. What is your supply arrangement with the Kerala paper products?
So we don't have a supply arrangement. Kerala paper products are basically a shut down. So they just about started. And when this, I also read that news article, there is no such arrangement. It just about started. Since they started, they said just to have a trial on the machine, can we have some small quantity of pulp so as to see whether our machine is able to, you know, when we throw pulp on the head box, we need to reel the paper. So they just wanted to see that operation. So there is absolutely no arrangement, no tie-ups, no nothing. We just sold them some
pulp very, very small to start up that plant.
And
they
have written
that TNP
will continue to supply.
Is that
on a revival? I mean, our own requirements we have to meet first. It is just some, it was an assistance since there was a specific request saying that we have to start it up and we desperately need some pulp to start the process. We literally lent them some pulp, more even more than saying we sold them some pulp. I think it's we lent them some.
Will
be purchased through TNPL only. So all their paper requirements are given to us. So you know when you have a customer like that and he says, yeah, give me some quantity, and it's kind of a, you yourself saying I don't have. But then you know when somebody says give me a truckload or two, say okay, fine, take it. Government is reviving the operation.
They're trying to.
What is that capacity? Any idea you have?
It's around 1 lakh to 1 lakh 20,000.
Okay, thank you.
And another thing is, they are not going to be in the writing and printing of the board. They are going to make the newsprint, and after that, they will bump in some more investment, and then they will get into some packaging there at a later point of time.
What was the quantum of price hike in Q4?
Q4 was not much. Q4 was about 3,200 somewhere there. 5%.
Sir, let me take you back to COVID. When COVID started, the system was flush with paper. You had plenty of inventory in the system. Over the next 2 years, it virtually dried out, and we came to a situation sometime maybe a year ago where there were no stocks of paper in the wholesale trade or the trade system. Where are we now? If you could give a sense, is there adequate stock in the system, or we are still on the lighter side?
Are you talking at the trade level, at the customer level, or at the mills level?
No. At the mill level, you've already shown in the presentation you don't have any stock.
Yes.
So if you could even find some scrap of paper, you would sell. But I'm more interested in the trade level.
At the trade level, they would have about 6 to 7 days stock. That is also a lot of speculative stock. You know, when prices go up, the traders try to keep some quantity that, you know, if the price increase is announced, I'll kind of make some money on it. But that also is a very, very minuscule quantity, because as I said, the textbook season is full on right now. So even if somebody has, he's as it is fetching a good premium, even without our asking for a price increase, he fetches the premium and he sells it. So they're just keeping 3 to 4 days inventory, and at the end customer level, which is the converter level or the printer level, again, there is virtually no stocks.
And the packaging part would be as bad or
it's
as good?
As good or as bad.
Thanks.
That's it. Okay. Let me thank Sunidhi for having organized this event. And, you know, I mean, I should compliment each of you. I mean, frankly, I always wonder about the magic of markets and the magic of Bombay and Mumbai's markets. And now I understand how serious this business is. You know, most of my life I have actually been on the government side. I've attended many events and various other things. Even when you talk to them about investments in a state or investments in a country, there isn't such a serious bunch of people taking serious notes and asking very serious questions. Even to invest in one company and one paper company, about 40 or 50 of you, and with such rapt attention, is quite remarkable. So I must really compliment each one of you for being thorough professionals in whatever you do.
I only wish we had more of you to do broader investment issues and not just in terms of stocks of one company. But I speak of that from a broader experience. But let me thank each one of you for the very, very perceptive and insightful questions, many of which we couldn't probably satisfy you with the exact answer that you were looking for, but that is the nature of our business in terms of the limitations we face. But thank you again for everything that you've asked. I can only assure you one thing, that TNPL, in spite of having a 35% shareholding from the government of Tamil Nadu, is a completely professionally run company, which is very, very conscious of the fact that it is listed on the stock market, very, very conscious of the fact that it needs to deliver value to all its stakeholders, which includes all the investors in the company. And it is run with a very strong and independent board, which holds us to account at every turn. And we are very conscious that as a management team, we need to deliver to all of these expectations. And that is something that we'll continue to be conscious of in the days to come. Thank you all once again.
We have a small working lunch, so we have all of us can join on that. And thank you the management for coming to Mumbai, and maybe a gap of almost 5 years we are seeing this management here. And I am really thankful, they accepted our request, which has been made to them almost 3 months ago. And today we are here. And one more request today, that we should see this, opportunity to all the investors very regularly. Maybe once in 6 months is, we'll be more than happy to understand what is happening in the company. And thank you very much.
So I had one small request. When we share the segmental numbers, if you could share paper and board separately, that would be of much help. Right now it is consolidated.
Also ensuring that farmers have an assured market for the entire tree that they grow. This alongside, we've also trying to expand the overall capacity on, overall extent on which farm forestry is done, in association with both the agriculture and the forest departments of the government of Tamil Nadu and the Tamil Nadu Agriculture University. So that has also been a useful element of support, because the government also has programs where they want to expand tree cover and expand farm forestry. So it works in tandem. There is considerable capacity. Plus, interestingly enough, the Madras High Court, the bench at Madurai, has also ruled that Prosopis juniflora, which is one of those invasive species, needs to be removed. So there's an opportunity there also, even on private lands, where overgrown lands, where uncultivated lands, where we can actually grow trees now. So all of these opportunities are being, so that is why a sustainable way of using wood pulp is actually coming now. Now, the new investment which we had made already, which is the phase one of our mill expansion project, fundamentally was to establish the hardwood pulp mill. This is what I mentioned has commenced functioning. And then a chemical recovery system, so that again is part of the circularity principle, because all the dry solids are recovered and then burnt in a recovery boiler, so that aspect also is taken care of. So all of these chemical plants with a turbo generator of 2 megawatt capacity, which again can be adapted to use a mix of fuels, including imported coal, domestic coal, lignite, which is available at Neyveli, which is close to the factory site, and of course all the biomass which we already discussed. Plus, we are establishing a wetland facility to handle the surplus pulp, both for storage purposes and to transport the unit plant if need be, and if need be, at a pinch even to sell as pulp, because there is a market even to sell that as a product. Now, this is a bird's eye view of just the mill expansion project of phase one. So this is what is coming up, where if, you know, geographically speaking, from where I'm standing, that is where our entire, you can see the long conveyor belt which brings in the chips into the top of the into the top of the boilers, into the top of the cooking vessels. There's a fair amount of land available and a fair amount of chipping capacity and maintenance of quality chips over a period of time to store them. Arrangements have been made so that, again, it's all about building resilience so that we have adequate chips available for the next year. Of course, this is on the marketing side. Our ED marketing is also present. Both our Institute Directors, Operations and Marketing are present, and as is our CFO. So they will, of course, explain more details. But on the marketing side, we are fundamentally a printing and writing paper manufacturer, plus on the paper side, and on the other side, on the board side, we manufacture, currently focusing on the virgin grade boards. These are our products. Exports, as I told you, is to about 60 countries across the world, fairly stable market there. Plus another stable market is the textbook market of various state governments in southern India. As you can very well understand, the total volume of textbooks produced in Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Andhra, and Telangana, and also Karnataka is fairly large. And what we have an advantage of is in Tamil Nadu, under the Procurement Act itself, under the Transparency and Tenders Act, direct purchase from TNPL is permitted on a negotiated price. Kerala has issued a similar government order based on which they are required to purchase only from us. Andhra and Telangana and also Karnataka go on a tender basis, but generally we are fairly successful as participants in those tenders. And the other element which often comes up is their own paper facility is now not operational, and therefore they are in a position to buy from us. The advantage here is there's a steady demand every year, steady demand all through, and generally our MSR realization from this is also fairly good. We also produce premium quality notebooks in Tamil Nadu, which again is distributed through the schools as well. So that again is a fairly captive market for us. Then on the board side, as I mentioned to you, we are primarily focused on virgin fiber based packaging boards, folding box board, then the solid peat sulfur boards which are used for the book covers, and of course cup stock which is used for other purposes. So now currently we understand that the input and the feedback we get from various dealers from across the state, across the country, is that the quality of our board is about the best which is available in the market. Now, the marketing performance currently, it was already pointed out that the outlook for paper looks good. Certainly, the marketing performance in 21-22 has been extremely encouraging. We've sold every scrap of paper we had in our godowns. We managed to sell 438,000 tons was what we sold as paper, which is a record sale from our own perspective. It is a 48% growth from the previous year. On the board side, there was a 6% growth. There was some stock left over, but overall, about 33% growth over the previous year. Now, whether we'll be able to keep up the same overall sale is a bit of a challenge, because we may not have that much of paper to sell, because last year we were carrying stocks which we are not carrying in the current year. So, as I mentioned already, stock has come down considerably of both zero stock on paper and about just 1,800 tons on board, which is about 50% of what it was last year. And I also mentioned to you that export sales have gone up significantly, so almost 1,44,000 tons on paper and about 21,800 tons on board. So in the aggregate, exports almost doubled in 1 year, 1.9%. And company on the back of fairly good sales realizations. It was a conscious decision to go in when the market was strong and we could get good prices. Now, the significant improvement in the last year has actually been the recovery of a lot of outstanding payments, and I'll also address you to that aspect shortly. But fundamentally, our receivables in days is now counted in days, and we are able to recover most of the amount fairly promptly. And the dealer network is also fairly extensive. These are the broader numbers. You've seen it graphically. This is a representation in terms of the overall numbers. The gross revenue, of course, has gone up significantly. It's gone up almost 45%. Now, EBITDA has also gone up by 23%. The EBITDA margin, unfortunately, has worsened, and that is on the back of higher costs. And we'll address that. We are very conscious of that, and we are looking to address that. Now, as you can see, the cost of materials consumed has gone up by almost about 440 crores, and that is the basic cost which has gone up, which includes chemicals and various other elements and power. Both of those are the significant cost increase items. The chemicals by about 110 crores and power, which is basically our expenditure on coal, imported coal in particular, that's gone up by about 400 crores. Our staff cost has not gone up significantly. It has virtually stayed constant. And so that is where we have seen the expenses go up. Finance costs, you would notice, have come down, and that is fundamentally because we have paid down some debt, and the overall outstanding debt has come down. The overall outstanding debt has almost been paid by about 500 crores, both long-term and short-term. Long-term debt has come down by about 400 crores, and short-term debt by about 100 crores. Now, this is the sales performance. As you can see, after 2018-19, this has been the strongest sale performance for quite some time. And in terms of production, we are back to, it was a substantial jump over the previous year. Capacity utilization is currently at about 97%. And we will look to see whether we can do a little more capacity utilization, both on the paper and board, so that we have adequate quantities to meet the bullish market. Right now, we are able to sell in the market when there is a demand. This is overall, of course, the turnover performance, and it's also based on, you know, the overall price realizations. EBITDA, of course, as I mentioned, primarily on the back of increased costs, it has not risen by as much. Now, debt, and this is, I think, a critical element. Overall debt, as you can see, has come down from 2,711 crores, that was at the end of the 2021 fiscal year. This year it has come down by almost 490 crores. We are down to 2,222 crores. Primarily, the longer term debt has come down quite substantially, as I pointed out already, by almost 500 crores. The net worth, I mean, those are largely accounting reasons why it has not gone up substantially. The book value and the net worth, as you can see in that graph. Now, over 5 years, the same set of figures, but compared over a 5-year period, you've seen the graphs. This is the representation in the tabular statement. Again, EBITDA, there is room to improve, and I think now fundamentally the emphasis needs to be on costs and where, to the extent possible, bring down costs, and where possible, pass on the increases to the customers. And I think that finally is now possible for various other reasons. The other important or key factor which we run into right now is with regard to also the operationalization of the pulp mill in the unit 2. So, which means with our own pulp and not depending on imported pulp. And one of the key rising costs during 21-22 was actually the cost of imported pulp for our board segment. Now, a significant portion of our pulp requirement in the board segment will be met internally. and that should give us a significant additional contribution and allow us to generate significant significantly better results during 22-23. That is the expectation, and which is a promise that we need to live up to. That is where matters stand right now. And of course, it's right from inception, this is a company which has been extremely responsible from both corporate social responsibility and corporate environmental responsibility, and also being kind of quasi-public sector where there's a significant holding from the government, that aspect of responsibility to the local community is also extremely strong. I think the key point is we've been environmentally very responsible. We have tried to reduce our overall consumption of water consistently. It's both a strategy of self-preservation and also something that we have to do for the community at large. In fact, even as we speak, we are reducing our consumption of raw water from the River Kaveri by about 2 MLD. That is a proposal which is currently going on, and very soon we should be able to achieve that. Reduction of water intensity is a constant goal, and the extent to which we can recycle the water and reuse the water is something that we continue to work on. Giving back to the community both through extensive plantation activities and making sure that the farmers get a fair price for the wood we buy back is another key area. This year, of course, as all of you are aware, the rise in coal prices makes buying our barter system for bagasse a little more difficult to operate, because automatically the cost goes up. The bagasse would otherwise be burnt in the boilers of the sugar mills, and we supply coal to them in lieu of that bagasse, equivalent to calorific value. And in the process, automatically the price of bagasse goes up and the price of coal goes up. Now, we don't know which way the prices of coal will move. We expect, those market risks are of course there, but given our more diversified input for pulp, we have some amount of flexibility there, and very consciously we brought down some of our bagasse requirement during the current year. So that is one element. But if the coal price moves the other way and it goes down and bagasse becomes viable again, we would of course look to procure more bagasse. That is one. Second, it is interesting that the sugar sector in Tamil Nadu is also in a sense stabilizing and consolidating. We hear, even this morning I took a call from somebody who mentioned that a private sector sugar group actually wants to revive some of their sugar factories and expand the area under cultivation, and they're looking to hire agricultural officers to see that expansion of area takes place. So if there is some amount of real consolidation in the sugar sector, and at least in key areas there's focus, it's possible that the supply of bagasse, long-term supply of bagasse about which we were not very confident, will also stabilize to some extent. So that is a further possibility which exists. Next. So that's about what I would like to make as preliminary remarks. Thank you very much. We are, of course, available to take further questions.